This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and I want you to picture something for a second. You're standing on a dock in Boston Harbor, watching what looks like a small commuter ferry pull away from the pier. It picks up speed, then more speed, and then the hull lifts completely out of the water, and this thing is flying. Not high, maybe 15, 20 feet above the surface, skimming across the harbor at 180 miles per hour on electric power. No runway, no taxiway, no terminal, just water. That is the pitch from a company called Regent, and their vehicle is called the Viceroy. And honestly, it is one of the stranger and more fascinating things I have come across in the electric aviation space. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in your flying life. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, let's break this down because the Viceroy does not fit neatly into any category, and that is both its genius and its regulatory headache. Regent is based in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. The company was founded in 2020 by Billy Thalhimer and Mike Klinker. Thalhimer came out of Aurora Flight Sciences, which Boeing acquired, so he has a background in autonomous systems and advanced aircraft design. Klinker brought marine engineering chops, and the thing they built together sits right at the intersection of those two worlds. The Viceroy is what Regent calls a sea glider. It operates in three modes. Mode 1, it is a boat, it has a hull, it sits in the water, it can cruise at low speed like any vessel, pulling away from a dock or navigating a harbor. Mode 2, it hydrofoils. Foils extend below the hull and lift the craft out of the water, reducing drag dramatically. You have seen this on the America's Cup sailboats, same physics. And then mode 3, it goes into wing-borne flight. The craft accelerates until the wings generate enough lift to fly entirely in ground effect, just above the surface of the water. Ground effect. That phrase should ring a bell. It is the same phenomenon you feel in a Cessna 172 when you float down the runway on landing. The wing is more efficient close to the ground because the downwash and wingtip vortices are suppressed by the surface below. You get more lift for less drag, and Regent's entire business model is built on exploiting that efficiency. Here's what most people miss about why that matters for electric propulsion. The fundamental problem with battery-powered aircraft is energy density. Jet fuel carries about 43 times more energy per kilogram than the best lithium-ion batteries available today. That ratio is brutal. It is why every electric airplane you have heard about has a range measured in tens of miles, maybe low hundreds, if it is a fixed wing. The batteries are just too heavy for the energy they store. But flying in ground effect changes the equation. When you stay within roughly one wingspan of the surface, your lift-to-drag ratio improves significantly. Some estimates put it at 40 to 70% more efficient than flying at altitude. That means for the same battery pack, you can go meaningfully farther. Regent claims the Viceroy will carry up to 12 passengers plus 2 crew for about 180 miles on a single charge at speeds up to 180 miles per hour. For an all-electric vehicle, that is a serious range number. Now, the data tells an interesting story when you compare this to what eVTOL companies are promising. Most of the air taxi startups, the ones building vertical takeoff vehicles for urban routes, are targeting ranges of 60 to 100 miles, some less. The Viceroy nearly doubles that, and the reason is straightforward: it does not hover. Hovering is the most energy-intensive thing you can do with a rotorcraft. It eats batteries alive by operating as a boat at low speed, and then transitioning to ground-effect flight. Regent avoids the hover penalty entirely. But let me pump the brakes here, because there are real questions. First, the regulatory picture. The Viceroy is not an airplane. It is not a boat. It is something in between, and nobody has a clean regulatory framework for that. In the United States, the Coast Guard regulates vessels. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, regulates aircraft. If you are flying, even in ground effect, that sounds like the FAA's territory. But if you're also docking at marine terminals and operating on waterways, the Coast Guard has jurisdiction too. Regent has been working with both agencies, and to their credit, they have been transparent about the challenge. They have stated that the Viceroy will initially be regulated as a maritime vessel under Coast Guard rules, which is a much faster path to commercial service than FAA certification. The logic is that an International Maritime Organization classification called a wing and ground effect craft, or WIG craft, already exists. These vehicles have precedent. The Soviet Union built enormous ones called Ekranoplans during the Cold War. The Caspian Sea Monster. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, there is a regulatory pathway, but it is not fully paved. And the question of what happens when a WIG craft operates near busy harbors, near shipping lanes, near controlled airspace, near coastal airports, those are open questions. Second concern, weather. Ground effect only works when the surface below you is relatively smooth. On a calm day, the water is a beautiful flying surface. On a day with 6-foot swells, you're not flying 15 feet above that water comfortably. You're either climbing higher, which kills your efficiency advantage, or you are canceling the trip. Regent has acknowledged that the Viceroy will be a fair-weather vehicle initially, operating on coastal and intercoastal routes where conditions are predictable. Think island hopping in Hawaii. Think the ferry routes around Puget Sound. Think connections between coastal cities like Boston and Provincetown or Miami in the Keys. That is a real limitation, but let's be honest. Plenty of transportation modes are weather-dependent. Ferries cancel in storms. Small aircraft cancel in storms. The question is whether the operational window is wide enough to build a viable business. Third, the technology maturity. As of now, Regent has flown a quarter-scale prototype. They demonstrated all three modes of operation: hull-borne, foil-borne, and wing-borne flight. That is significant. It is not vaporware. They have shown the transitions work, and those transitions are arguably the hardest engineering problem here. Going from floating to foiling to foiling to flying requires precise control systems, because you are managing hydrodynamic and aerodynamic forces simultaneously in a vehicle that is changing its relationship with the surface below it in real time. But a quarter-scale prototype is not a full-scale, passenger-carrying, commercially certified vehicle. That gap is where many startups go to die. Regent has raised over $100 million in funding. They have secured letters of intent and conditional orders from regional airlines and ferry operators. The numbers they have announced are impressive on paper. But letters of intent are not purchase orders, and conditional orders have conditions. The company has announced partnerships with several operators. One of the more notable ones is with a Hawaiian airline for inter-island routes. That makes geographic sense. Hawaii's islands are close enough together for the Viceroy's range, the water between them is relatively protected, and the current inter-island air market is well-established but expensive. If a sea glider could undercut airfare while offering a novel, fast experience, there might be a real market. Let me talk about the engineering for a moment, because the propulsion architecture is interesting. The Viceroy uses distributed electric propulsion, multiple smaller motors and propellers rather than one or two large ones. This gives you redundancy, which matters enormously when you're flying over water. If one motor fails, the others can compensate. The vehicle also uses a high aspect ratio wing designed specifically for ground effect efficiency, which looks different from what you would design for higher altitude flight. The wing tips curve slightly to manage the vortex behavior near the surface. The power system is all battery electric, with the batteries housed in the hull. And here is a practical advantage of the sea glider concept. Weight matters less than it does in a traditional aircraft. A heavier airplane needs a longer runway and burns more fuel climbing. A heavier sea glider sits a little deeper in the water at low speed, but once it is up on foils and then on wing, the ground effect helps compensate. You're not climbing to cruise altitude and fighting gravity the entire way. You're staying low, where the physics are kinder. Now, I want to address something that comes up every time I discuss ground effect vehicles with fellow pilots. Is this really flying, and does it matter? From a physics standpoint, yes. The vehicle is airborne. The hull is not touching the water. The wings are generating lift. Aerodynamic forces are keeping the craft aloft. It is flying in the same way a pelican skimming the waves is flying. Whether the FAA or the Coast Guard regulates it is a jurisdictional question, not a physics question. And from a practical standpoint, the experience for the passenger is much closer to flying than to taking a ferry. You're covering a 100-mile route in about 30 minutes instead of 3 hours. You are above the surface, moving fast, with a view out the window that probably looks spectacular. Whether the pilot at the controls holds a maritime license or an airline transport pilot certificate, the passenger just wants to get from the dock in Boston to Nantucket before lunch. The competitive landscape is worth mentioning. Regent is not the only company exploring this space. There are a handful of other ground effect vehicle startups globally, but Regent is arguably the farthest along in the Western market and the most visible. Their design philosophy is also different from most competitors. Rather than building something that looks like a futuristic spaceship, the Viceroy looks relatively conventional. It looks like a small airplane with a boat hull. That is intentional. It makes manufacturing simpler, maintenance more familiar, and public acceptance easier. Timeline. Regent has targeted commercial service beginning around 2028. Given the track record of every advanced air mobility company pushing timelines to the right, I would mentally add a year or two. But the maritime regulatory pathway, if it holds, could genuinely be faster than FAA type certification. The Coast Guard has experience certifying high-speed craft, and the WIG category exists in international maritime law. That is not nothing. Here is my honest assessment. Regent is attacking the electric aviation problem from a completely different angle than everyone else. And that angle has legitimate physics advantages. Ground effect extends your range. Water operations eliminate the need for airport infrastructure. Maritime regulation might be faster than aviation certification. Those are real structural advantages. The risks are also real. Weather limitations constrain the operating envelope. The full-scale vehicle has not flown yet. The regulatory pathway, while promising, has never been fully navigated for a vehicle like this in the United States. And the market, while logical on paper, needs real operators willing to build dock infrastructure and sell tickets. But I will tell you this. In a landscape full of eVTOL companies that are all trying to solve the same problem the same way, a company that asks a fundamentally different question, what if we just did not climb? That is the kind of engineering I find worth watching. Sources for today's segment include reporting from Aviation Week, The Verge, and Regent's own published technical documentation. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Fly low, fly far. See you next time on Clear Direct.